Hey guys, if you missed any of my best or worst bits, you can catch them up right here. We're going to be talking about wages and what we should be being paid to make us happy. Plus, Tech Tuesday was fantastic this week with Tegan from Leading Edge Computers. She'll be joining us shortly. But right now, we spoke to Vera Blue on Monday about her new remix track, Lady Powers.
Yeah, so this track was on the record, my record Perennial, and this new version is actually, it's not so much a remix, it's more just a new version. So I'm really pumped to have this as a single with Cody Shane, so I'm really excited.
Awesome. So what's the song actually about?
Lady Powers is, I guess, the thing that I really love about this song is that when people listen to it, they can connect to it in whatever way they want, really. But to me, Lady Powers is a few things. Lady Powers is your body. It's kind of like your self-respect and your dignity and your, confidence. Lady Powers is also like a thick skin you've developed from experiences and moments, a little strength, and Lady Powers is the women that you're surrounded by. So your friends and your family and yeah, it's a lot of things, but those are the things that it is to me. So
awesome. And so why bring out a new version?
Well, the version on the record was special already and we loved it so much, but I felt like, when we wanted to release it as a single, I felt like I just wanted to have someone else and a girl. So I was like super excited to be listening to a bunch of female artists from America that, are releasing music, and Cody was one that really struck for me, her vocal tone, her sense of rhythm, and she was really perfect. When she laid down her part, it was just absolutely perfect and so awesome. She's such a boss. So yeah,
awesome.
I think it's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you've got a tour as well starting very soon. You start off though with a few festivals before you go on your Lady Powers tour.
Yes.
Do you prefer the festival circuit or tours like your own tour better?
Both have really different feels. So festivals are really fun because it's kind of, you just go there and have fun and the set isn't super long. You kind of do your 45 or, just under an hour set and you just have fun. Like the audiences are there to just have fun and it's really cool. But when you do your own tour, it's a little bit more pressure. I guess everyone's there to see you and it's kind of, they're longer shows, but there's something really special about, doing it, your own show. It's you're in a venue that's full of people that are there to see you and you've got your own lighting, you've got everything going on. So it's really, really exciting, but both I love with different reasons. So
how long does it take you though to get everything together to start your own tour, like to get all the choreography and all the rest of it?
It does take a while. So we, basically as soon as we finished the last tour last year, which I think ended in September, I think that's when we start thinking about what's next, because once you finish a tour, you're kind of like, okay, we need to think about what's going to be, a little bit bigger or a little bit better or, make people feel more.
Yeah.
And that's what's really exciting about this Lady Powers tour. I think we're just finishing off the final touches of, little special moments for the show. So I'm really excited. It's a really fun process.
Sounds like it. Have you got anything else new on the horizon coming up as well that you can give us a sneak peek of?
I'm going to start making a new record, I think. I'm just deciding what I'm going to do, but I'm really inspired at the moment and writing songs. So there'll be new music very soon, I think.
Awesome. Yeah. Can't wait. Lady Powers Power Ladies Remix EP is out Friday, April 13th. Vera Blue, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
A new study has come out overnight, and we love a good study on this show, that basically reveals the age that you will be that will be the most expensive year of your life. Now, I feel like I've already been through a few expensive years, weddings, paying for a cat to have his tail removed because he got hit by a car. That is not cheap, FYI, keep your cats inside. But there is actually an age, according to this new study, that was done by a firm called ClearScore over in the UK. And that age that is going to be the most expensive year of your life, according to them, is the age of 31. Now, they surveyed more than 3,000 people, which isn't really that much. So 31-ish, let's say. And they found that the average person would need as much as $76,000 at the age of 31 to cover the costs of things such as weddings, already done, honeymoons, kind of done, having a baby, not yet, buying a first home. And apparently $76,000 is the average Australian salary. Don't know where they got that figure from. But that kind of makes sense. I guess the average age of people having weddings, buying houses, having babies is probably around about 31, I guess, give or take a few years. So your early 30s is apparently when you begin to think about things like trusts, inheritance, non-mortgage related loans, tax bills, business expenses, and everything else that you know a part of life but didn't appreciate as a financial burden before this. I kind of wish I hadn't started with this because this is making me a little bit upset this morning, knowing that in a few years' time, this is what I have to look forward to. Such things all require professional interpretation, apparently, and advice that doesn't come for less than a few hundred dollars an hour, which I do know is true. Some places you can get like the free, for instance, if you're going for a home loan or whatever, you can get a free consultation. But then, of course, you got to pay for this and pay for that and pay for everyone else's time. And then, of course, you've got your everyday maintenance and repairs, which you're probably already paying now. Those things could be, you know, your car. If you've bought a house that's degrading and needs repair, you know, cue a $300 spend at Bunnings every Saturday. Vehicles that need servicing, repairs, those can easily reach four or more figures depending on how old your car is. And, of course, there's a whole heap of other things that just build up in life, which I'm sure you're already feeling, even if you haven't hit 30 yet, or if you're after 30. What else is pushing up annual costs in your early 30s? Apparently is kids and animals, or both, which rake up dollars that nobody expected, apparently. Their study says we're eating properly now at the age of 30. No more two-minute noodles. So the supermarket shop is always $200 plus a week. Then there's your social lives and having more energy than those who are older than us. So you go out and have a good time, social circuit, all of that stuff. And you have more disposable income than those younger, apparently. I don't know. Look, 31. I don't know if I want to reach it, if that's the case. But then again, half those things I've already encountered. The cats, they're expensive at times. You know, having a wedding, looking at buying a house, possibly, although that involves saving money. 31, I'm not looking forward to you.
Leading Edge Computers presents Tech Tuesday,
where you always get switched on service.
And of course, Tegan joins us from Leading Edge Computers this morning. Good morning.
Hi, Claire. How are you going?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, thank you.
That's good. Now, you have some news about self-serve checkouts that I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. Now, new technology developed here in Australia is set to wipe out cheating at self-service checkouts. Now, since the scanners were first introduced nearly 10 years ago.
Really?
I know.
It's been 10 years.
That was my reaction too. I can't believe it's been that long.
No.
Anyway, customers have been abusing them, as most people know, by putting expensive items through as much cheaper products. So recently, a man was fined over $300,000 for a scam where he scanned expensive meat as cheap fruit. And we've heard stories about people getting other barcodes and, you know, swipe,
or like
putting them across.
Scanning one banana as a different banana or whatever else.
Or like a bunch of avocados as watermelons or carrots or something, you know, potatoes. Anyway, the new technology uses a camera and artificial intelligence to identify the product and then automatically enters the information into the point of sale system. It can even tell the difference between a Royal Gala and a Pink Lady apple. So
that's
pretty
cool.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Now, supermarkets will stop losing money on these items and customers won't need to search through a bunch of menus to find what they're looking for.
I have to say, if I've ever accidentally done it, it's been because I can't figure out which one I've got through that menu.
Yeah, I can understand that. It is confusing. So the new system is currently being trialled in a number of stores across Australia. But I think maybe they could spend some of that research money fixing that annoying error where it doesn't believe you put the right item in the bag and you have to get the person over to help.
It's,
oh, my goodness.
It's the worst when it's, like, a really lightweight, too, and you're like, it's there, okay? It's there.
Like a birthday card or...
It's frustrating. And now, when it comes to iOS, there's something called Wi-Fi Assist.
Yeah, now, Wi-Fi Assist is a feature on iOS devices, so that's your iPhone or iPad with cellular. It's designed to help you stay connected to the internet, even if you have poor Wi-Fi connection. So, for example, if you're browsing the net using Safari and the Wi-Fi signal's poor, Wi-Fi Assist will activate and automatically switch over to cellular so that the web page continues to load for you.
That's smart.
It is. Now, while this is really handy when you need an internet connection, you might be working on the go or whatever, it may mean that you use more cellular data than normal. So it's generally not a huge amount more, but if you're concerned about how much data this could use, you can turn the feature off. This is how you do it. It's really easy. You simply go into Settings and then Mobile. You scroll all the way down to the bottom, past that big list of apps, and then you just tap the Wi-Fi Assist slider to turn it on or off. We'll be posting the instructions this morning on our Facebook page if you want to get them again later.
Wonderful. Well, Tegan, thank you very much.
Thanks,
and
Claire.
We will see you again next week.
See you then.
Can you tell who's telling the truth?
Liar. Liar.
It is Liar Liar, and it's your chance to win yourself a double pass to Flickerfest happening at the Griffith Regional Theatre tonight. You can probably still buy some tickets if you head to their website, but it is a double pass to Flickerfest. And Diane's given us a call this morning. Diane, how you doing?
I'm good, Claire. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How's the farm?
Oh, it's well.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, you're dropping everywhere.
You're doing okay without too much rain? It's been pretty dry, hasn't it?
Yeah, we don't need rain.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay, good. Well, Diane, you can win yourself a double pass to Flickerfest, which is happening at the Griffith Regional Theatre tonight. If you can guess my story this morning, I am saying that I accidentally hit a roo on my way back from Sydney after the wedding. Am I telling you the truth or am I lying to you this morning?
Well, if you come from I don't know. yeah, you're telling the truth.
You reckon I hit a kangaroo?
No.
You don't think I hit a kangaroo?
No.
Okay, so you think I'm lying then, because I'm saying that I did hit one.
Because you would have said before.
Okay, well, that answer is... correct, Diane, you're heading off to the Griffith Regional Theatre tonight to watch Flickerfest. Congrats.
Great. I wasn't sure.
No, I could tell. You were very confused
but
at one stage.
I thought, she would have said before.
I would have. If I'd hit something, you would know about it straight away, trust me.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, congrats, Diane. Enjoy tonight and have a great weekend.
Okay, then. Thanks, Chris.
No problem at all. See you later, Diane. And now, if you're a millennial... because apparently it's only millennials that do this, according to every study I've ever read. And you love avocado, smashed avocado, actually, on toast. Then there is a new drink out there for you. Now, I'm a millennial. I also hate avocados. And I also hate when people reference the fact that I can't afford to buy a house because apparently I'm a millennial and therefore I eat too many smashed avos on toast and that's why I can't afford a house. Reality check. It's not. But if you do love yourself some smashed avo and some toast, whether you're a millennial or not, there is a brand new drink out there that may just be for you. It is called the Avocado Toast Cocktail. Sounds gross, right? I think so, especially because I don't like avocado. But apparently, it is delicious. Now, it's come about from a place in Boston, in New York City. It's called Bar Mezzana. And basically, they've created a drink that they call Smoothie Moves with a little hyphen next to it that says Avocado Toast Cocktail. Now, the guy who tried this and wrote about it said he was deeply skeptical that it would be like a spiked green juice or a thick smoothie with a shot of vodka, which I know there are bars out there that do this. But... it wasn't. And apparently the drink has avocado, it has kale, it's rimmed with spiced flecks of breadcrumbs. And he said it was really good. The avocado and kale didn't come through right away, he said, but there was a slight bitterness from the greens that balanced out the sour and sweet of lots of lime juice. It was a little thicker than a vodka soda, but that made for a pleasant creaminess that contrasted with the crunch of breadcrumbs, just like avocado toast. Legit makes me want to be sick. That's so gross. But apparently, it is really good. If you want to make it yourself, they have the recipe up online. Apparently, you just use de-stemmed kale. You put it into crumb-sized bits or chop it thoroughly with a knife. You combine that with a cup of simple syrup, which sounds like way too much sugar for any day of the week. And then you strain it through a single layer of cheesecloth. Once you've got that, you can put it in your fridge and it'll keep, apparently, for like over a week. You then add... something called avocado vodka, which I didn't know was a thing. I'm not sure if that's just an American thing, but apparently you can get avocado-flavoured vodka. What's with avocado? And then you add kale syrup, fresh lime juice, a whole heap of other stuff, and you can make yourself this drink at home. I would say I'd try it, but it just sounds gross.
Random Radio Game Generator.
That's right. It's the old school computer that we give a kick every once in a while. It spits out a game for us to play. And if you guess whatever game it is correctly, you win yourself a prize. And today's prize is a double pass to Rewind in the Vines. It's happening at the old Miranda Wines building. You got Daryl Braithwaite, Ross Wilson, Daddy Coolio, Mondo Rock, Bootleg Rascal, Happy Avenue, Ben Sicardo, Heatstroke, Rewind DJs, so much more. Easter Sunday at Miranda Wines. You can still get tickets at rewindinthevines.com.au. But Alex has given us a call up this morning. Alex, what are you up to? Hello, Alex?
Good, thank you.
That's good. Alex, what are you up to for your Thursday?
Not much. Relaxing till I have to go to work.
What time do you start work?
2 o'clock.
Oh. Can we swap jobs? Just for today. You can just do the next half hour and I'll just go relax or two. How does that sound?
No, I'm off an afternoon first.
Well, look, Alex, you could win yourself these double passes to Rewind in the Vines for you and a friend to head along if you can guess our celebrity head this morning. Here are your three clues again. You got American singer, taking over hit tomorrow for your R&B workday, and she has a song called All About That Something and Me Too. Do you have any idea of what it might be?
Is it Meghan Trainor?
That answer would be... correct. Congratulations. You are going to Rewind in the Vines.
Thank you.
No problem. Alex, do you have a friend you're going to take with you?
Yeah, I've got a couple in mind that I might take.
Do you think they'll start messaging you in about 5 minutes trying to figure out who you're going to take?
Most likely, yes.
Well, Alex, I hope you enjoy your little relaxation this morning and have fun at Rewind in the Vines.
Thank you.
No problem at all. I hope you enjoy. Another chance for you to win a double pass to Rewind in the Vines tomorrow. It is the last double pass you can win. But don't forget, you can still buy tickets to Rewind in the Vines at rewindinthevines.com.au. When it comes to very Aussie things, I think throwing a snag on the Barbie is one of them. I think it's more iconic than the shrimp on the Barbie. As much as overseas seems to think we do shrimp on the Barbie all the time, no. It's a snag on a Barbie. We love a democracy snag. We love summer barbecue snags. Just snags in general. Snags at Bunnings. You know, generally it's part of everyone's, I'd say probably weekly diet maybe. But there are new health concerns apparently over how many sausages we're eating. Australians eat a staggering, and this is staggering, 1.1 billion bangers every year. But there is a problem. Health authorities are saying most sausages are now loaded with too much salt. There's always too much of something somewhere, right? Now, apparently, if you have more than one sausage at a time, your salt intake goes through the roof. Victorian Health Department person speaker thing, her name is Jen Reimers, and she said, "We know Australians are actually eating an enormous amount of sausages, far too much for good health." Now, this week is World Salt Awareness Week. Didn't know that was a thing. And there's a push for parents to be more mindful when making purchases for family dinners. Now, I love nothing more than curried sausages for dinner. Curried sausages are like the most amazing thing in the world. But apparently I should only be having one sausage in that curried sausage dish, because anything more than that and I'm having way too much salt. Unless I'm buying it from a butcher. Now, they're saying that cheaper supermarket selections often have three times the amount of salt compared to more gourmet varieties. So if you go buy like just your stock standard supermarket ones, apparently they're not so great for you, which I knew anyway. A lot of those, like, you know, the basic snags that you can get from like a lot of the main grocery stores, I find that they make me feel sick anyway. I would much prefer to eat something that I enjoy. So I normally go for the gourmet ones. Which, yes, I know it makes me sound fancy as anything, but they are more expensive, but they are so much better. Like, there's ones that I think you get them from Coles that have bush tomato in them, and they, if you have not tried them, you need to try them. They are amazing. And then Woolies has another one that I really like. Went up to, I think it was Richie's yesterday, and they had some lamb snags that look phenomenal. So I bought some of those. So yeah, look, if you shop around and find the right sausage, not just buy the stock standard cheapies, you're probably going to be okay salt wise. But it's saying here that if you do buy those cheaper supermarket selections, you are going to get three times the amount of salt that you would normally have. Now, Sam Armstrong from the Heart Foundation says, have a think about how often you're having sausages as well, and try to have them a little less often. Look at the labels and try and pick ones that have got less salt in them. Health authorities also suggest making a few simple tweaks to your barbecue, like adding more vegetables and replacing sausages with chicken. I don't know. I feel like that's very un-Aussie to replace it with chicken. Chicken's just chicken, right? Like, you have it every other day of the week. Why do you need to barbecue that stuff? Right now, we have rising singer and songwriter Noah Kahan joining us. He is from the US. He's come over to Australia at the moment to do a bit of a tour. Noah, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
That's good. No problem. Now, you have a brand new song out at the moment, Hurt Somebody. You teamed up with Julia Michaels. It's off the charts. Tell us a little bit about the song.
Thank you so much, first of all. But the song Hurt Somebody is about kind of the paralyzing fear of hurting someone's feelings or the pain you feel from breaking up with someone. I think it's an interesting perspective on the breakup song that hasn't been explored very much in pop music.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was it like to team up with Julia Michaels?
It was incredible. I mean, I was a fan of hers before we had any connection, so having her stamp of approval on the song and having her kind of the honor of having her on the song has been awesome, and she's incredible, and she did an incredible job, so it's been great.
Absolutely. And you're going to be playing at the Metro Theatre tonight, I believe. Have you been to the Metro Theatre before?
I have not. I have not had the chance or the pleasure, but I'm very excited to be playing there. It's my first show ever in Australia. I'm stoked.
Oh, wow. Okay. So has anyone kind of told you what to expect from Australians when it comes to shows, or?
No, I actually have no idea. Can you give me some insight?
lots of screaming. Lots of screaming. Lots of love. And it'll be a fantastic night, I promise you.
I can't wait. Perfect. That's awesome. That's exactly what I need.
Now, Noah, tell us a little bit about your background and where you've kind of come from.
So I grew up in a town called Stratford, Vermont, which is on the east coast of the United States. And it's a tiny little town. It's got about 1,100 people in it. Very small. I kind of knew everyone's name. Everyone knows each other. There's like 20 kids in each class in my elementary school.
Oh, wow.
So super, super small. And I just grew up playing music and kind of exploring the folky roots of my town when I grew up there. So it's a nice little Vermont town.
And what's it like going from such a little town to the world, I guess?
It's been awesome. I mean, I've had a lot of exposure to big cities and other countries through music. But it's always kind of a shock to be in big cities and be places where there's more than like 300 square miles. So it's unbelievable. I love being in the city and I love being back home, but it's cool to get kind of a mixture of both.
Absolutely. Well, Noah, I can't wait to hear more from you. Do we have any idea of any new music coming out soon?
There's not a specific date yet, but we've got a ton of new songs we're going to be putting out over the year, so we're excited.
Awesome, fantastic. Can anyone hear them maybe in some of your upcoming shows?
You know, I'm going to leave that to the show. Buy a ticket and you'll get the answer to that question.
Fantastic. Noah, thank you so much for joining us this morning. His new single, Hurt Somebody, team up with Julia Michaels, is out now. Have a great day, Noah, and good luck at the Metro Theatre.
Thank you so much.
As summer ends, you may notice that you've got a few more freckles, a few more moles maybe, from the sun. Well, there is a highly accurate new online skin cancer test to help determine whether your mole could be at risk. And it can identify people at high risk of melanoma in 90 seconds. Not only that, but it's been developed by Queensland researchers. Now, this test predicts the likelihood of developing the killer disease over the next 3.5 years, apparently. It was developed for people generally aged between 40 and 70 because it's based on data collected from the world's largest skin cancer study run by the QIMR Medical Research Institute. The tool is now available online, and a research paper on the process was published on Monday in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. Professor David Whiteman said his team had been following 45,000 melanoma sufferers over 8 years. This is what he said about it. He said, "This test is the most robust instrument we've ever been able to develop for predicting risk of melanoma. There are 7 items on the tool that include your age, your sex, your ability for your skin to tan, the number of moles you have on your skin, and your hair color, as well as how much sunscreen you use." Now, the tool is said to be very self-explanatory and easy to use. So, for instance, reporting the number of moles you have on your skin is one of the questions. And there are pictures with people with moles on their skin, and you just pick the closest one to you. Now, basically, it looks at all of these things and then says to you, kind of like a risk predictor. So it places you in one of 5 categories, from those who are very much above average risk down to very much below average risk. Now, they're not saying that this should be used instead of getting screenings. They still highly recommend you go see your doctor. Regular screenings of those higher risk may help detect melanomas early and hopefully before they have spread to the lower layers of the skin and other parts of the body. That's what Professor Whiteman said. But you can find this melanoma predictor online now. If you just Google the melanoma self-test Queensland, it'll come up by the QIMR Berghoff Medical Research Institute. It's definitely one that you want to have a look at.